In Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10, Jesus is about to enter into Jericho. It says in Luke 19, verse 1, He entered Jericho and was passing through. And there was a man named Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd he could not, because he was small of stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus had come to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who was a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, Today, salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. This morning I chose this topic on Zacchaeus, a very impressive individual, not in what he did or who he was as a sinner, but his heart and mind and how it's changed dramatically in this story. Hopefully I'll get this to work. I guess it helps if you turn it on. There we go. I think it's working now. About a week before Jesus went down to Jerusalem, we find that he goes to Jericho. Jesus had spent much time with sinners previously, spending time with them. But Zacchaeus, as we read in this story, is too much for many of Jesus' followers. They perceived Zacchaeus was a chief publican and equated him as a sinner. Jesus previously had given a parable concerning a publican, that is a tax collector, and about the difficulty of a rich man entering into the kingdom in Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 27. But as we see in the story, a humble tax collector is much better than a hypocritical Pharisee. We also must keep in mind that all things are possible with God. Matters concerning the heart, matters concerning our attitude and humility. Luke chapter 18, verse 27, all things are possible with God. Who is this man, Zacchaeus? His name is a Hebrew name. It is very likely that he was a Jew. His occupation, he was a publican or tax collector. We saw that in Luke 19, verse 2. Not only was he a publican, he was a chief publican. The word occurs nowhere else, apparently, but the meaning of this phrase is very clear. We see this term archai, A-R-C-H-I. In other words, in archarius, or chief priest, archipoimen, or chief shepherd. So this man, Zacchaeus, was a chief tax collector, archai tax collector, or publican. Jericho was a very important city. It was a trading point for balsam and other things like dates. And so Zacchaeus was the head tax collector in this whole entire region, a sort of commissioner of taxes, if you will, who probably had other publicans or other tax collectors serving under him. This according to A.T. Robertson in his book, Word Pictures of the New Testament, on page 239. Where was Zacchaeus from? What is this city, Jericho? Jericho was a very wealthy city and very important town in the region. It lay in the Jordan Valley and was positioned A, on the approach to Jerusalem. So a lot of trade came through there. It was also at a key point of a crossing of the Jordan River to the lands of to the east of the Jordan. So it was at a key crossing point near the Jordan River. It had a great palm forest there. It was world famous for its balsam groves, which perfumed the air. It was very, it filled the air with a very wonderful scent for miles around. You could tell where this city was and where these balsam groves were. Its gardens around Jericho were also very known far and wide for its roses, its rose gardens. Men at that time called Jericho the City of Palms. Josephus, a very famous historian, called it a divine region, the fattest in all of Palestine. So we get a very vivid picture of what Jericho was like, a very rich, very industrious city in terms of palm groves and balsam and dates. So it had a great amount of agriculture. All this combined to make Jericho a significant center for taxation, a key trade route, a key crossing of the river to the lands in the east. In the New Testament times, we can see that tax collectors were very wealthy by their trade, by extortion, by things that they would do to collect money in excess, which made them very wealthy. This according to Luke chapter 5, verses 27 through 32, if you'd like to read there further on your own. What is a tax collector in the New Testament? You might say, well, how is that different from a tax collector today? Well, Mike, I threw this up here for you. You asked me the other day if I was a tax collector, and I responded, I am not a tax collector. But Zacchaeus was. Zacchaeus is described as very wealthy, but despised by his fellow Jews because he collected taxes for the hated Roman Empire. Tax collectors were often very unscrupulous. Their methods and the way that they got taxes was considered unscrupulous, at least by the Jews. Tax collectors were regularly in contact with Gentiles, which made them, quote-unquote, unclean according to the law. The tax collectors were grouped with prostitutes by the Jews. We can see that the Jewish leaders characterizing them with the prostitutes in terms of sin in Matthew 21, verse 31. So to call them sinners wasn't just a mark. It was the equivalent in the Jewish mind of a prostitute, one who regularly practiced in sin, one who regularly was made wealthy because they were tax collector. And in the Jews' mind, that was equivalent to the mark of a prostitute. So it puts in context for us today how the Jews considered publicans. Zacchaeus recognizes in the text that we read, he recognizes that he had defrauded others later in those verses. So we also have to keep in mind, we today need to be careful how we label people, and we also need to be very careful, very cautious on how we treat others. Zacchaeus is converted. He had defrauded other people in his business dealings. So again, another warning for us today. Zacchaeus goes out on a limb. You see, he was very short in stature, so not a tall man, very short. His initial interest was only to see who Jesus was, according to Luke chapter 19, verse 3, which we read. His interest becomes much more intense, much more earnest, even impulsive, if you will, because he can't see over the crowd. He decides suddenly to climb this tree. That's how much interest he had in to see the Messiah, see who this great prophet was in Jesus. This unusual steps that he takes ensures his, from his viewpoint, that he can see Jesus. Luke chapter 19, verse 4. This grown man climbs out on a limb in the public eye to see this Jesus. This action seems to show a genuine interest in Jesus. And it's even more unusual because Zacchaeus is so despised. Why would he have an interest to see Jesus? This man who's a sinner. This man who's an outcast to the Jews. Why would he want to see this rabbi or this great teacher of the law, Jesus? Jesus' call. Jesus looks up and he sees Zacchaeus up in the tree. The publican wasn't trying to draw Jesus' attention whatsoever. He was only trying to see him, but he gets way more. Jesus calls him, Zacchaeus, hurry, come down, for I must stay at your house today. Jesus is very bold. He stands at the door and knocks. Jesus wants into our hearts as well. His call to you this morning, hurry, come down, for I must go into your house. That is your heart. That is your mind. Jesus was just days before the cross, before he went to the cross, maybe a week. Jesus talks with this despised sinner. He takes time out of his busy schedule to talk to this despised sinner. The effort puts in perspective Jesus' true mission, which will be consummated in nearby Jerusalem in just about a week as he goes to the cross. Zacchaeus responds. He hurries and comes down and is very joyful. He's so happy. He's so pleased that Jesus would take time out of his busy schedule for him, a sinner. Jesus gave him much more than a look. He was going to actually go to his house, dwell with him, and teach him personally. This sinner wanted to see Jesus, but gets to actually dwell with Jesus, the Son of God. He got to be personally taught by his Creator and be accepted by him after his repentance as a fellow descendant of Abraham. Those who see and perceive Jesus' action begin to murmur. Those who saw it murmured against Jesus, "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who's a sinner." They were stunned. Jesus would take this action. This rabbi, this great prophet, would go to this sinner's house. Jesus left those who followed him to spend time with this sinner. He left his disciples, he left the Jewish leaders, and he went into this house of this publican, a chief publican, whom they regarded probably as a chief sinner. This was not much different than Paul's own assessment of himself, as he called himself the chief of sinners because he had persecuted Christians. He says this in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. Instead of judging others' sin, we should first look for our own shortcomings and humbly repent. That was Paul's attitude. That was Paul's mindset. He regarded himself as a chief sinner. As we're about to read about Zacchaeus, he does the same thing. Zacchaeus' repentance and assurance that he had changed. Zacchaeus stood and said, "Behold, Lord, half my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." Luke chapter 19, verse 8. Zacchaeus repents of his wrongdoing. He had a change of heart, a change of mind. He repented. He repents of all wrongdoing, and his conscience was at work within him. He recognized he had to change if he wanted to spend time with his Lord. Kind of reminiscent of us today, isn't it? If we want to be with our Lord, we can't be like the world. We can't have regard for things in this world, because God and the things in this world are at odds against one another. The Spirit that's within us, that dwells within us, the Spirit of Christ, fights and wars against the flesh. This man was going through the same battle in his mind, Zacchaeus. He had defrauded others. He was a chief publican. He was a man of great importance in his society. At least that's what he perceived. He was a very wealthy man, had a lot of money. He had a lot of influence, perhaps, in the Roman government as a chief tax collector. Perhaps he had other publicans who served under him. He had extorted money wrongfully, as they all knew. We begin to see this war within Zacchaeus begin to change his mind, change his attitude. From one who wanted just to look down on Jesus from a tree, look to see who he was as he passed by, Jesus' call to him struck his heart. It struck his mind in a way that he did not anticipate. And as he hurried and he came down, he was joyful. He knew he had to do something different. He offered to repay fourfold anyone he had defrauded. He offered to do it right there, right now. He didn't put it off. He didn't wait. That repentance and that action was immediate. He knew he had to do something right then and there if Jesus was to accept him. This was the Mosaic Law, Exodus chapter 22, verse 1, Numbers chapter 5, verse 6. There had to be repayment, and it had to be a multitude of fourfold. Restitution is good proof of a change in his heart. That restitution wasn't just something he mentally assented to, mentally agreed with. He had to take action for this repentance to be effective in his heart and in his mind. He corrects unjust collections by repaying fourfold. This was the rule for theft or robbery, also in Exodus chapter 22, verse 1, which I mentioned earlier. For other cases of unjustness, the law only required restitution plus 20%. So Zacchaeus may have been going well above and beyond the requirement of the law when he offered fourfold. That's how much he was repentant. The law only required 20% restitution. This latter restitution would come from the half of his possessions remaining after he gave the first half to the poor. Zacchaeus made a complete change in his life. There's no halfway measures with Zacchaeus. He's all in, 100% committed to his repentance. Perhaps before he knew he had defrauded people, but now he's changed 180 degrees in the opposite direction. Remember the scripture, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world but forfeits his own soul?" That scripture came to mind when I read about Zacchaeus, a man who was willing to give up this world's goods, give it to the poor, repay it to those whom he defrauded. It meant nothing compared to his salvation and his own soul. Zacchaeus had repented, and Jesus told him, "Today you have salvation. Today salvation has come to the house of Zacchaeus." In Luke 19, verse 9. He also recognizes Zacchaeus as a fellow Jew, but now more like Abraham that we read about in the Bible, the patriarch of faith. Because his own faith, that is Zacchaeus, his own faith and trust in God, Zacchaeus was restored by Jesus. Because of his occupation, other Jews had stripped him of his place in Israel and cast him out in their treatment as a Gentile and as a sinner. But Jesus places him back amongst the saved. We also were once aliens to Christ. We were also once lost in our sins. Jesus brought us back into his fold. What a wonderful feeling that is. What a wonderful knowledge that is. To know that you are saved. To see Jesus restoring you in faith and in trust. I was talking with Abe back in the vestibule, and I was mentioning that the angels in heaven rejoice over just one sinner who repents. This man, Zacchaeus, repented, and I believe the angels in heaven rejoiced. We also should rejoice when we see a brother or a sister who repents and comes back to God. We should rejoice with them. Jesus' summation of the meaning of this whole story follows. He says in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." That was his mission. That's why he was here. What Jesus was able to accomplish with the restoration of Zacchaeus is very typical of Jesus' mission. For those who were watching and listening intently, Jesus was giving insight into the events of the next few days, his last days, before the crucifixion. We sit here in the 21st century with a clear view of who Jesus is from our perch. We can see his love. We can see his mercy and forgiveness, even for the most vile of sinners. We see Christ's love manifested on the cross and to men like Zacchaeus. Jesus' tree, we're going to read about in just a minute, was quite different than Zacchaeus' tree. In Acts chapter 5, verse 30, We see our view of the Savior. In Acts 5, verse 30, it says, "The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree." Jesus' tree, we can read, was the cross that he hung on to seek out and to save us. That's how much he was willing to go and hang on that tree. He endured that tree so that we, as sinners, do not have to endure the cross. Have you been to Jesus to see him on the tree or his cross that he bore your sins on? I'm speaking, of course, in vivid imagery. Jesus calls you and I just like he did Zacchaeus. He told Zacchaeus, "Hurry, come down, for I am going to your house today." He wanted to go into Zacchaeus' heart, not just his physical dwelling. He wanted to change the heart of Zacchaeus. I think Jesus recognized and knew that Zacchaeus was a sinner. I think he knew that Zacchaeus was looking to Jesus. And I believe that Jesus, when he called him, he knew that Zacchaeus would repent. And that's why he makes a point to call Zacchaeus to hurry and come down, for I must dwell in your house today. Jesus makes that same call, that same appeal to us through the gospel, calling us to hurry and come to him, that he may dwell in your house, that is, in your heart. If you're subject to the gospel call in any way, I'd like to personally invite you to come down to the front here. We can baptize you here this morning if you are not a Christian. If you are a Christian, we can pray with you. We can pray for you for the forgiveness of your sins. If you're subject in any way to the gospel call, please come forward now as we stand and sing.